Today is Friend Day, and I want to recognize a couple. One that's my friends and your friends. They've been here a long time, but Jim Wistman just recently had a fall and fractured a vertebrae in his back, but he is here with us on the second row. Can y'all believe that? He's in the spit pit this morning. And so glad to see Jim and Linda right here. And he says, I would like to thank my connection group, the Joyful Saints, as well as my church family for all the cards and prayers during my absence. Yours in Christ, Jim Wistman. And so glad to have them back with us today. And then, Miss Pat, where are you at? Pat McFalls, where are you sitting? Okay, she's there in the back. Last week, I just laid out for our church a need. And Miss Patricia and her daughter, Katie, have gone through a fire, and they lost their apartment, all their belongings, along with several other people at that apartment as well. But she's got a little note here. My name is Patricia McFalls. I'm the oldest daughter of Richard and Ruth McFalls. How many know Richard and Ruth? Okay, that's good. Been here a long time. On September 17th, between 9 to 9:30 p.m., I saw a red flickering light through the blinds in my bathroom window. Went to look and saw that my neighbor's balcony was on fire. I yelled for Katie, my daughter. I went outside and to the back of the building where I discovered his balcony fully engulfed in flames. I yelled up at him several times, but no answer. So as I went back down the hall, I banged on apartments 103 and 101, told them they needed to get out. With everything going on in the world today, I'm so thankful for all of you here in this church. The money that you gave will be very helpful to us while we deal with insurance. Thank you to each and every one of you. You all are a true blessing to us. Thank you, Patricia and Caitlin. Bentley, that's the dog, and Bean, that's the ferret. All right, so even they're thankful this morning, and I'm glad they got out alive, all of you, and are so thankful. Now, your neighbor did receive severe burns, right? Yeah, but there were no deaths in the fire. Is that right? Okay. I don't think there were any deaths, but she does have a friend that was burned severely. So let's pray for that whole situation. Thank you for your generosity. We took up almost $2,500, $2,481. We wanted to be a blessing to them because when you lose everything, can you imagine trying to get that back in just a little amount of time? So I'm glad we were a blessing to them. Well, every one of us has lost something. Do I have a witness? Amen. Every one of us. For some of you, it's a daily occasion, amen, to lose something. I have a reoccurring dream. I'll tell you what, I have a reoccurring nightmare that I lose my wallet. I realize if I lost my wallet, that would be so much trouble, having to replace everything. And it almost happened to me recently. Our family was getting together, celebrating me and my son-in-law, Chuck. We have birthday in the same month. So back in August, all of our family met in High Point, North Carolina, at the Chili's. I love Chili's. By the way, I got some gifts today, and there's two Chili gift cards on my desk. Amen. Hallelujah. Looking forward to that. But that day, Alan gave me a Chili's gift card. And I took it out of the envelope. We weren't at Chili's, that's right. We were at City Barbecue in High Point. But he gave me a Chili's gift card for my birthday. So I took it out and I put it in my wallet. Okay? Didn't want to lose it, amen? Didn't want anybody else to steal it, amen? So I put it in my wallet. The only thing is I didn't put my wallet back in my britches. I put it between my legs in my chair. And so then when we got ready to leave, guess what? I stood up and my wallet fell to the ground, but I didn't see it. Wasn't even thinking about it. And, you know, the grandkids were there. You don't think about stuff like that. Well, Ronetta, Tanya's cousin, happened to be there that day. And she went around the table making sure we got everything. She said, is this your wallet? Ah, I say, amen. She saved me a lot of trouble. So I thank God for her. You know, have you ever dropped a penny? Do you even think about it? If you do, that is not of much value. I'm not even Don't worry about it. How many have thrown coins into a fountain? Is that the most ridiculous thing you ever seen? Or somebody's getting rich off that, all right? Whoever drains that fountain, boy, they have a good time and they're raking in, all right? But I've seen those things and it's like, oh, I'll throw a penny in. I may throw a nickel, a dime in. Whatever, not much worry. We don't have to worry about it because it's not much value. But what about a soul? I got good news for you. I am valuable to God. You are valuable to God. Can we say that together today? I am valuable. Ready? I am valuable to God. I want you to realize that today if you don't get anything else from the message. And we're talking about the value of a lost soul. We read a story in Luke 15, a parable. Jesus told these stories one day, and he would tell several parables when he lived on the earth. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And here it is. Look at verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, these are silver coins, okay? If she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently or search very carefully till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece, I have found the coin that I had lost. When a Jewish girl married, listen, she began to wear a headband of 10 coins to signify that she was now a wife. So it's the kind of the Jewish version of our modern day wedding ring. Ladies, hold up your wedding ring, all right? Can you do that? So it's like one of our ladies losing a stone out of their wedding ring. That's what it meant to this woman. You may say, one silver coin, not much value. Don't worry about it. To her, it was of great value. Now, most houses were very small and dark. She had to light a candle, a lamp, and search until she found that lost coin. And, buddy, you can imagine the joy when she found it. Now, that's the earthly story, but it's got a heavenly meaning. Let's look at several factors. Number one, let's talk about the woman. She pictures the work of the Holy Spirit going after a lost soul. No one is saved apart from the Spirit's convicting work in their hearts. What does John 6:44 say? Read it with me. Ready? No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. See, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sinful state, convicts us of our need for a Savior. Suddenly our ears are open. Our hearts become receptive. We're drawn to him. And we're drawn to the truths of God's word. And now we're open. We're ready to receive the word of God. So the woman represents the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, drawing us to Jesus. Number two, let's talk about the coin. That represents a soul. That represents an individual. Just as the coin was valuable to this woman, we are extremely valuable to God. Even when you lose a coin, they still have value. Did you know that? So at your home right now, all those coins that are in the cushions of your couch, all right? And all those coins that are in the crevices of your vehicle right now, they still have value. Now you say, I'm not going to go to the trouble to get them. Well, that's your prerogative. But they still have not lost their value. Does that make sense? Shake your head, all right? Now, thank you, dear. Lost souls still have value. What does it mean to be lost? I thought about this. Number one, we're out of place. If something is lost, they are out of place. And sheep belong to the flock. Let me get my word right. Sheep belong to the flock. Would y'all agree with me there? Okay. Coins belong in the headband of this dear lady that lost that coin. Lost sinners belong in fellowship with God. So if a lost soul is out of place, because we are supposed to be connected to God, He created us, and so we're supposed to have a relationship with Him. Everyone has a God-sized hole in their heart, and they're trying to fill it with everything else, just looking for satisfaction. So a lost soul is out of place, but they're also out of service. A lost sheep isn't any help to the shepherd. A lost coin isn't any help to the owner. A lost sinner cannot experience the fulfillment that Jesus brings. How many can say when you got saved, Jesus brought you fulfillment? He brought you satisfaction. All right, number three. Let's talk about what she did next. She lit a candle. She lights a candle. I got to have some light. That's what she's thinking. If I'm ever going to find this coin in this dark home. Well, the light represents the Word of God. It represents the glorious gospel. What is that? That Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life. He was crucified for our sins on the cross. Then He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. And He was victorious over sin, death, and the grave. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say that with me. Ready? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. See, a candle is a movable light carried by her from place to place. It's not to be stationary. As Christians, we are to take the Word of God, and we're supposed to take it in the power of the Holy Spirit and go after lost souls. Matthew 5:14 also says, we are the light of the world. Now, He was the light of the world while He was here for those 3 years in His ministry. But then He told His disciples, you are now the light of the world. We shine as lights in this old dark world. Others need to see Jesus in the way that we live. So yes, the candle represents the Word of God, but it also represents the consistent life of a Christian led by the Spirit, living out the Word of God. In other words, we're the only Word of God that a lot of people are going to read. What kind of book are they reading? But our lives are supposed to match up with God's Word. We're supposed to live out God's Word in our daily life. So a candle is needed to show people the way to Jesus. That's the purpose of this church, is to lead you to Jesus. A closer relationship if you're already saved, and into a relationship with Him if you're not saved. We are to shine the light of the gospel into your life. All right, number four. Then she gets out a broom and she sweeps the house. There were no concrete floors or tile back in those days. Floors were often dirt or at the best just mortar. Very dirty. Covered with rush mats. R-U-S-H. Rushes usually grew in wet places. And the round stems and the leaves were used in making baskets, rope, and mats. Now, the mats were not changed out very often, so they collected a great deal of dust and filth. Can you imagine? A piece of money could be lost very easily with a floor like that. Well, as you sweep a very dirty, filthy room, you cause a great disturbance to happen. There is an uneasiness in the air. There is dust flying everywhere. Ladies, can I have a witness, right? Well, the sweeping process, listen, represents the uneasiness of our hearts when a lost person feels the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The knocking on our heart's door, the convicting of our sin, trying to get our attention. Now, let me ask you a very important question. How many of you feel a sense of uneasiness in our world right now? Wow. God uses that, those circumstances as well, to get our attention. Israel is at war with their enemies. I thought about the hurricane and the flooding last week. I mean, some people are devastated. Everything gone. And no hope of getting all those things back. I thought about the division we have in our country. We're not a unified country, are we? I thought about gas prices and grocery prices continuing to soar. Really, inflation is causing everything to go up, up, up. I thought of school shootings. I thought of a very uncivil political climate. And within 1 month, we've got a very crucial election. I thought about crime and corruption and child abuse all on the rise. Those things are happening for a reason, and it's caused many to search for hope during these turbulent times, terrible times. Many are coming to church. For many of you, it's the first time in a long time. Or many people are opening up their Bible. They're searching for answers. Well, let me just tell you, this is all happening as the Bible said it would. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Let me let you in on a secret. They're here. Everything going around us, we don't have a lot more time. But we can. That's an old sign back there that I put up this week. That was from 2020. Do y'all know, remember 2020? The big C. And that was our theme for 2020, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer. Do you know with all the stuff that's going on in our world, I want you to see that as you leave our church. When you walk out those doors, hey, I'm going to rejoice in hope. How many have hope this morning? It's not in this old world, is it? But it's in Jesus. I'm going to be patient in tribulation. Trouble's all around me, but buddy, I can be at peace. And I'm going to be fervent in prayer. I'm going to do what I can to help others know my Savior. So I put that thing back up there. I hope it's a blessing to you. It's good for that reminder during all these disruptions. Before any of us got saved, the sweeping had to occur in our lives. Think about it. The afflictions we faced, the trials we went through, the confusion, the disorder, the despair in our lives. You know what was happening? Our souls were being turned upside down. The Spirit was trying to draw you to Jesus. And there was that uneasiness in our hearts. So let's call it that sweeping process. But God was using all of those things. Now, that sweeping process causes conviction. It causes a lot of disorder. It leads to a great commotion, but it leads to cleanliness and order. Conviction leads us to the Savior. And He gives us that peace that we're searching for. You know why Jesus gives peace? Because He is the Prince of Peace. We can have that peace this morning. All right, number five. Then we see in the story that she seeks diligently. This woman was going to search until she found that coin. Have you ever been looking for something? You say, I'm not going to give up until I find it. That's the way this woman was. God will not let His human treasure go without an effort to save them. God does not stop until that soul rejects Him. That's what sends people to hell. They reject the Savior. They reject Jesus. He doesn't want anybody to die without Him. Do y'all realize that today? He's not willing that any should perish. Well, since He's the only way to salvation in heaven, here's your choices. You can neglect, you can reject, or you can accept. Did you get that? Neglect is, I don't even want to think about it. I'll just go my merry way. I'll be fine. Or you can flat out reject Him, which, by the way, the first two responses are going to lead you to the same destination, right? Same place, either neglect or reject. But I'm encouraging you today to accept. Accept Him. See, we're lost by nature. Through Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, we have all sinned. We cannot make it to heaven on our own. The Bible says our righteousness, all of our good works, they're like filthy, putrid rags in the sight of God. We must be found by grace, and we must respond by faith. Found by grace, he's the one that's seeking and saving. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man, Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's still seeking and saving in 2024. Praise the Lord, it's not too late. It's not too late. Number six, then the coin is found. Now, I said earlier a lost coin is out of place. A lost coin is out of service. But now, with a relationship with Jesus, to be found or saved means that you're back in place. Sin had separated you from God, but hallelujah, through Jesus, woohoo, you got that relationship restored. You've been reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for you on the cross. Then, also, you're back in service. Man, life's got a new meaning and purpose. I had to add this one. You're also out of danger. There is no more eternal punishment for you when you are found. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Remember, you didn't find God. He found you. And he has saved you out of your sin. Number seven, there's joy when the coin is found. This woman got happy when she found that lost coin. Then she called all of her friends and neighbors, and they rejoiced with her. How many remember rejoicing last week when I announced in my message that Samantha got saved in my office right before the service? Woo! Man, we said amen. I think some of y'all clapped and praised the Lord. Probably Doug said, woo-hoo. Is Doug here today? I thought he'd give us a good woo-hoo. He must be gone. But we all rejoiced that God is still saving sinners. There was joy on the earth. But let me tell you, there's also some rejoicing going on somewhere else. Look at verse 10, all right? We've just read 8 and 9. Now look at verse 10. Likewise, or in the same way, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Over one person that believes in Jesus. They're having a shouting time in heaven. Nothing brings our church more joy. Nothing brings heaven more joy than to see someone believe in Jesus as their Savior. Man, he wants to use our church as an instrument in people's salvation. That's why we had Friend Day today. We invited, and you graciously showed up. Thank you for coming. We want you to be saved. You know why we want you to be saved? We want you to go to heaven, but we're looking forward to the rejoicing. There's joy in seeing people saved. Now, let me just sum this up. I've given you an earthly story. I've given you the heavenly meaning. We live in a broken world. Y'all realize that? With everything that's happening around us, we can see the brokenness. Those things I mentioned earlier. But do you realize God did not design his creation that way? God's design's perfect. His way the way he designed it, that was the way things were meant to be. Remember Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, remember what it says? It was very good. But sin entered the world. Sin causes brokenness. Sin causes war, murder, crime, child abuse, all those things I said earlier. So sin is turning away from God's design and pursuing our own way. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Were they supposed to eat of the forbidden tree? No. But they listened to the devil and they took a bite. And their sin affected every one of us. These are important scriptures. Listen carefully. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We try many ways to deal with, and we try many ways to fix the brokenness that we experience. We try to numb the pain. We try to often we try to distract ourselves through entertainment. We put our hopes in things like success in education or success in our career. And we put all those things in front of our relationship with Jesus. Many believe relationships. Hey, if I can just have the right relationship, that's going to fix my brokenness. Nope, that doesn't work either. Some people look to religion to help fix their brokenness. And they're thinking, hey, as long as my good outweighs my bad, I'm fine. But you know, all those things cannot get us back to God's design. All of those are futile attempts to get us out of our brokenness. But you know what they do that just leads us further from God? Well, the consequence of our sin is separation from God for all of eternity. Romans 6:23 says, say it with me, ready? For the wages of sin is death. There is a penalty for sin. Our sin has to be punished. God's justice will not let those hurtful and wrong things that happen in this world that we've all contributed to. He does not allow those things to go without penalty. We needed a remedy. God, out of His great love, He knows our issue. He sees our brokenness caused by our sin, and He decided to do something about it. Say this one with me, ready? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus to be the remedy for our sin. He came to earth, lived perfectly according to God's design. He came to rescue us out of our brokenness, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. See, it's not about what we can do. The work's already been done. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He took our sin. He took our shame on the cross. He paid the penalty of sin by His death. And then Jesus was raised from the dead. He provided the only way for us to be restored to God. You know, we don't have the power to escape the brokenness in our lives on our own. We need to be rescued. We need to ask God to forgive us. We need to believe in Jesus and what He did for us by faith. Last two verses. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that means you got to believe that Jesus is God, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, what's it say? Thou shalt be saved. Then Romans 10:13, for whosoever, put your name in there, for if Wayne shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Let's bow our heads right now. Will you call upon Him right now? We don't do this very often, but with a special day like this, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior today. You've heard the truth of God's Word and the sacrifice that Jesus made on your behalf. And I wonder if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, drawing you to Jesus, will you accept Him today? You could get saved right there in your seat right now. I'm not pressuring anybody. Nobody knows what's going on in your heart. But I would love to lead you in a prayer. And if you truly mean it, I'd love for you to get saved today. Will you call on Him right now? God, my life is broken. I realize because of my sin, I need You. I believe Your Son, Jesus, came to live, die, and was raised from the dead to rescue me from my sin. Today I give You my life. I'm turning from my selfish ways, putting my faith and trust in Jesus. I realize He is the only way. Please forgive me. By grace, wash away my sins with your blood. Cleanse my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name I pray.